I'm Kate Remington, and I'm really looking forward to talking with Stanford Symphony Orchestra's music director, Michael Stern, and violin virtuoso, Pinchas Zukerman. It's great to have a chance to talk with you about the Together Again Gala that the Stanford Symphony Orchestra is presenting on October 24th. So welcome, both of you.
Thanks.
Delighted to be with you.
I know you guys go way, way back, and I'm just curious about what threw you together for this gala.
Michael's imagination.
Well, this was a happy accident on several levels. I wasn't particularly looking for this to happen, but for the last few years, I've made my home in Old Greenwich. It's where my children are growing up. And the very forward-thinking group of rather exceptional people that make up the Stanford Symphony, chief among them Russell Jones, the executive director, a fantastic board, and really dedicated musicians, were looking for somebody to take the symphony to the next chapter. And the idea of being able to do something with music in the community where my children are growing up was irresistible. And I was looking forward to launching that adventure this year. And then this little thing called coronavirus happened.
Yes.
So here we are in what would have been the beginning of this wonderful new moment. And we're not able to get together. And, you know, I happen to be blessed in my life with some really old, devoted, and very talented friends. And high, high, high up on that list for decades is Pinchas Zukerman. So I had asked him to open our season when his concert got canceled, like all the others that we had. I said, well, we're going to try to do something to salvage the moment and have an online gala of sorts. Will you come and participate? And of course, being the sweetheart that he is, he said immediately, yes. And both he and his wife, the wonderful cellist Amanda Forsyth, gathered with us at the Palace Theater and managed to record, even with the socially distanced, masked times that we're in, managed to record some music, which we will include on our virtual gala, which is going live on October 24th.
Well, Pinchas, it's wonderful that you could help out like that, and you're going to be performing the Bach A minor violin concerto. Why did that seem like a good choice?
Well, first of all, in COVID time now, when we have a few performances that are there now, the orchestra is reduced to about between 15 and 20 people on stage. And so that's one of those reasons that the Bach A minor seemed right. Also, we both decided that it's the right piece for me to play within that context. It's only 1 hour as well, or maybe 50 some minutes. And we had Amanda playing also just for strings, a piece by Offenbach called Jacqueline's Tears, which is very, very beautiful. So the two seem to go together very well, I thought, and we both thought that. So that's the reason it's there, but mainly because the size of orchestra and harpsichord.
Yeah, I would imagine having way reduced forces like that really made you do a total overhaul of what the program could be. And yet, Michael, you've still managed to include some really wonderful favorites, like a movement from Grieg's Holberg Suite and a movement from Dvorak's New World Symphony. So what was involved with the effort of putting the forces together to get these performed?
Well, as you must know, and Pinky certainly has been doing some of this also since we're all locked down, all over the world, musicians have been trying to deliver performances through FaceTime and Zoom and every other virtual media that we can. And the only way we would be able to get the Dvorak done is that way, because you can't get that many people together on stage at one time. So that effort was considerable, but everybody, again, the willingness, the talent, and the spirit of the people in the band is really amazing. So, you know, that's the way we got the Dvorak done. For the Bach and the Offenbach, that was, I think, the first time that any of us had been on stage with other musicians live since the very beginning of March. So it was such a breath of fresh air. Here you have these two guys coming in, these wonderful artists. Just, it was so inspiring, aside from the wonderful playing that they delivered. It was so inspiring just to see how everybody melted into the moment. And you know, time was limited. Everybody was very far apart. But we just wanted to make music together. And with a new partnership that we established at the Stamford Hospital, we asked Chief of Cardiac Surgery, Dr. Michael Cody, who's a wonderful pianist, a graduate of Juilliard, to come and play some chamber music. He played the Beethoven Wind Quintet for piano and winds with members of our group. And that, too, was fantastic. And that also is part of our show. So I just think it was just a reflection of everyone's need to want to come together, and also how music can really bring us together.
Yeah, definitely. I was curious, I've got a question for both of you. I'm wondering, during this time, which has gone on far longer than many of us thought it was going to, what sort of, how has that affected how you approach music or your attitude, or have you changed your priorities at all to have a different idea of what's really meaningful and important now?
What a great question. You know, we can spend about 3 years answering that one in probably one language, but we could use a couple of other languages if you want. Everybody's had a, I think that I know that I've talked to over the last 6-7 months has had a reflection of some sort about themselves, about life, about generally what might happen, but we don't, none of us really know. That's a curiosity as people we have to what's going to happen. So it's going to be different. There's no question about that. How, we don't know yet. But in the meantime, we have some wonderful, extraordinary people that run orchestras, institutions that have become extraordinary. I mean, the variations on the theme here has been amazing, of being inventive to be able to do things that have to do with bringing music to people that want to listen to it. And I can tell you right now in Taiwan, for example, it's back to normal there. However, only with Taiwanese artists formed within the country. Nevertheless, there are people that are buying tickets by the thousands. They are so eager to listen to music and to be part of music again. Music is an incredibly powerful remedy to many problems in the world, as we know. Over the years, we've seen that. I can tell you that when I was starting to play and rehearse with the orchestra, because we had the mask, they couldn't tell that I was smiling. So I stopped after 10 bars and I said, by the way, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm smiling. I think you are too. And they said, they looked at me and said, yeah. So what Michael was referring to was this feeling of the abundance of love for the sound, for the music, for just being together and just making music is really refreshing. I can tell you that what's extraordinary to me at the moment still is to look at 75 years since the Second War and how we build an extraordinary, unbelievable empire around the world, especially here in America, and how it all disappeared in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
How are we going to rebuild that? Oh, my God. If you have an answer, please tell me.
I wish I did.
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. We don't, none of us know it.
Right.
But we need to. We need to. We have a need. We all have a need to be part of something that's so phenomenal, that's been here for thousands, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years. I don't want to go too far back, but when you start with Bach and Bach onwards, we have a revelation and revolution of things because of music that have to do with structure. And I think people need structure. And we have an enormous amount of structure that comes daily. For me specifically, I can tell you that during this time, I have a routine in the morning. I have my coffee, I have a shower, and I go into my room and I practice. And now, mind you, I do that all the time anyhow. But when it's like this, when you have time to really dwell into the finer points of one note without thinking, oh, my God, I got to go get a plane, it adds a whole new dimension. Hard to describe. I don't know quite how to describe it yet. But I can tell that I'm playing with more... it's more conscientious on the actual notes that I'm putting down on the fingerboard. The fingers that go down and bring out a note, it's a lot more conscientious than it used to be because I have time. I just have time. So I've been thinking in different ways. This music, by the way, some of these big orchestras of 90 people, 85 people, 90 people are going to be playing music for literally no more than 15 or 20. They never do that. We have not really done that. It's always under the title chamber. What's a chamber, you know? What's a chamber orchestra? Well, it depends on the size of the strings, really, because if Haydn wrote it for two flutes and two horns and a couple of bassoons, you can't play it with single players. It just doesn't work. So the size is really a question of where the strings are. And I don't think you need a lot more than 8, 6, 5, 4, 3. I know I'm going to get hell for saying that, but you know what? We need to look at those things financially, physically, emotionally, use different people in different situations where they are really shining or can shine. To just shut places off completely, I think, is a terrible mistake. So we see Europeans coming back a little bit, but not full orchestras. And again, not full audiences, obviously. So it's a long way still from being back to what we knew. I'm not sure it'll ever come back to that. And if it does, God help us all. Uh-huh. That'd be great.
Yes. Michael, what about you? What has this done for your priorities as far as music is concerned?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say thank you to my friend Pincus for having shared with us that he does actually take a shower every morning. That's good to know. This is what I passionately think. I think that we have learned a lot in the last 7 months. And I think that much of it was out of necessity because of this, the terrible restrictions. But with the discipline of the restrictions come new creative ideas on how to do things differently. And if and when we do come back to being able to have some sense of what we thought was normal before, we're not going to jettison all the things that we learned over these past few months. And so not only will everything that Pinky was talking about in terms of reflection and trying to understand different and better ways to do some of the things that we were doing before, that will remain. I think our creative use of digital media and virtual connection to bring music out into the world will remain, and the less creative things will fall by the wayside. And I certainly think that we have to continue to believe one thing, that no matter what the constraints are, music has to continue to matter. So there are no concerts right now. Nobody can actually go into a hall, but it doesn't make the need for music, not only for our own personal consumption, but out in the world, the way it affects education and the way it affects children and the way we as citizens and as human beings together interact, music has always been a part of that and always will be a part of that. And so I would say that we can't lose hope, and we have to continue to find the right path to try to get through this. And when we do, to come together stronger.
Well, it's going to be a wonderful balm, I think, for people's spirits. And you can find out more by going to stanfordsymphony.org. And I can't wait to experience it. And Michael and Pincus, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time to talk about it.
Thank you very much.
It was our pleasure.